The book of Hebrews 13, 5 through 6. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Let your conduct be without covetousness. All of us, without exception, Apostle Arkady writes, because of our sinful gene pool in which we were conceived, have inherited the root system of all evil, revealing itself in the desire to become rich. Psalm 51, 5-7. It is written, Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Now let's pay attention to the phrase, let your conduct be without covetousness. The verb let your is taken from the military lexicon. In this case, as it possesses a commanding format, turning this command into a commandment. What is conduct? This is our character, this is our makeup, and our habit. And so let's look at three important components which will allow us to conclude that we do have a conduct that is without covetousness. How can we have this good character and this good habit? Conduct without covetousness is testimony that the root of all evil has been uprooted from the soil of our heart. 1 Timothy 6:9. But those who desire to be rich shall fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men into destruction and perdition. For the root of all evil is love of money. And if a person has conduct that is covetous, that means it is not uprooted. It is not necessarily speaking of money. Money itself is not evil, but love for money is evil, and the devil does not want us to know this. He wants us to believe that for a Christian, money is evil. And so if you take any currency, whether it be American or any other, you'll see a lot of Masonic or Satanic symbols. But for example, the red towel that is used for the bull itself is not dangerous for the bull, but the temptation that is said in once they fly it over the bull, that is a danger to the bull. And so, again, money is not evil, but your love for this money is evil. Second, conduct without covetousness is a demonstration of godliness and contentment with what God has allowed us to have. 1 Timothy 6, 6-8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. A person who is content is a person who is godly. A non-content person is one who is not godly. Lawless, carnal, wicked, sinner, whatever it may be. But a godly person, you can determine that they're godly, not because of their religiousness, but how content they are and satisfied with what the Lord allows him to have. Having food and clothing, we should be content. That does not mean that you cannot have a car or a house. No, we need to be grateful, thankful when we have food and clothing. Every time we sit at our table and we pray, people ask, why are you praying? Are you afraid to die from the food? No, I want to show God that I am content, that I'm happy, that I have the opportunity to be able to eat. Other countries don't have food to eat, and sometimes days on end. And even if they do, they don't have the variety that the Lord allows. God is not against us having a house, a car, clothing, food. He wants us to be thankful for this, not to thank him for a big house and expensive car, but that we thank him for the food and for the clothing that we have. Our heart needs to be thankful. And finally, conduct without covetousness is a testimony of generosity demonstrated in an absence of vile and shameful greed. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. This is conduct without covetousness. This is testimony of generosity. And we may say that generosity is that it's not enough for God and that we need to add tips to it. No, God does not need a little bit more. He does not need tips. He's very wealthy. He is not in need of that. As Jesus Christ, he was a very wealthy person. He did not need money. He wants that when we give our tithe to him, that our heart be opened, that we have an opened, cheerful heart, cheerfully giving, not as something that we're required. There's one and the other person that will give the same amount, their tithe, what is holy to the Lord. One gives because he feels he's required, he feels forced, and he says, I pay God, and the Lord says, I don't want this. Another gives the same tithe, but not feeling forced, but because his heart is open and cheerful. He received the commandment into his heart. He agreed with it, that this is the holiness of the Lord that he has within his hands, but doesn't belong to him, and he happily gives it to the Lord. And so a generous heart is not the one that can give more to God. It's one who gives to God and is cheerful because he's doing so, because his heart is joyful when it fulfills God's commands. And so right now we will sing a psalm and thank God that we have this great privilege to partake in this service of tithes and offerings, to be able to show him that we have a conduct that is not covetous, that the root of all evil is chopped, and that no Masonic or satanic symbols scare us on currency, which all try to put on our clothing, on our cars, everywhere. They're always trying to put these symbols to scare people. We know that the enemy is not in the dollar. A dollar is an instrument we use to build the kingdom of heaven, but the one that is behind that dollar, that is the enemy. It is Mammon. And right now, we will proclaim this verdict here on this very place. Let us stand up and partake in this great service.
Твоих крыл, под защитой.
I will happily remind us that every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings in the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, they were required as a command from Moses, which he received as a revelation from God, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they were faithful to for thousands of years. We're the same Israel, connected to the same roots, nourished by the same olive tree. We will do the same thing. Stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so that you may have food within your house. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may heavenly windows be opened to me, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May be blessed. Please be seated.